Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
A new pill to treat COVID-19 at home is showing promise.
If we can start using these pills, then that will help us get to a more endemic state, rather than having a pandemic with all these restrictions and mandates and so on and so forth. So this could be a real game changer.
Plus, we've got a strong jobs report out today. Is the U.S. economy bouncing back? And some steamy changes to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's Friday, November 5th. I'm Shelby Holliday, filling in for Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Stronger than expected jobs numbers for October came out today, a sign that the economy could be picking back up after a summer setback due to the Delta variant. The Labor Department says employers added 531,000 hires last month. The unemployment rate fell to 4.6%, down from 4.8% in September. The numbers for August and September were also revised upward, showing stronger job growth than previously thought. The positive jobs report pushed stocks higher today, with all three major indices notching fresh closing records. The S&P 500 ticked up nearly 0.4%, while the Dow was up almost 0.6%, or 194 points. The Nasdaq rose 0.2%. Our economics reporter Josh Mitchell says rising wages could be helping to incentivize workers.
Before the pandemic, wages were rising at about 2.5% a year. Over the past year through October, wages rose 4.9%. So there are big wage increases going on. Now, the other thing going on is inflation is rising. So people are having to spend more just to live. And so we might be seeing people needing to go back to work because they can't afford to not be working. And also, you just might be having people who are becoming less fearful of the virus itself as it starts to fade.
Speaking of incentives, public schools in major U.S. cities are set to serve as vaccination sites for 5 to 11-year-olds now eligible for the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine. And they're offering gifts, ranging from $100 debit cards to tickets for sporting events to kids who get the shot. Districts say as more kids get vaccines, they can start relaxing mandates for masks and social distancing. The head of the School Superintendents Association says he expects districts to begin discussing whether to mandate vaccines for public school kids in the coming weeks. Meanwhile, 11 state attorneys general are suing the Biden administration to try to stop the new mandate that requires employers at large companies to ensure that their workers are vaccinated or tested weekly. The lawsuit argues that the mandate will hurt businesses and worsen the already tight labor market. It also argues that the federal government doesn't have the authority to issue the requirement. The rules apply to private employers with at least 100 workers and are set to go into effect January 4th. We report exclusively that Chinese property developer Evergrande Group raised more than $50 million last month and avoided defaulting on U.S. bond debt by selling two of its private Gulfstream jets. Sources say the planes were part of a larger spending spree and aggressive business expansion that left the Chinese property giant with about $300 billion in liabilities at the end of June, including about $20 billion in outstanding bonds. Evergrande has several bond payments coming due over the next week. Electric van startup Workhorse is being investigated by the Justice Department, according to documents reviewed by the Wall Street Journal. This inquiry is the latest setback for the company, which is already under an SEC investigation, has been through a change in management, and is dealing with production delays. Workhorse declined to comment on the probe. And another installment of the Facebook Files investigation. Documents reviewed by the Wall Street Journal show that researchers at Facebook found that 1 in 8 users reported engaging in compulsive use of social media that impacted their sleep, work, parenting, or relationships, a problem commonly known as internet addiction. A Facebook team focused on user well-being suggested a range of fixes, and the company implemented some. But the team was shut down in 2019. Our tech reporter Deepa Seetharaman has more.
It's an interesting example of the way a lot of teams within Facebook that are tasked with dealing with thorny, hard issues about the technology's downsides, kind of the bureaucratic hurdles they face internally within the company to try to get their work done and to get it in front of the right people.
A company spokeswoman said Facebook built tools to help people manage when and how they use the platform. And in recent months, the company has begun formulating a new effort to address what it calls problematic use, alongside other well-being concerns, such as body image and mental health. We have more on the Facebook files at WSJ.com and on our sister podcast, Tech News Briefing. Coming up, a pill you take at home to treat COVID-19 may soon be a reality.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
There's big news in the fight against COVID-19 today. Pfizer says that its experimental at-home treatment, Paxlovid, is highly effective at preventing hospitalization and death in those who are at high risk of severe reactions to the virus. If the drug is approved, the company says it could deliver doses by the end of the year. Joining me to talk about what this could mean for all of us is WSJ Health Business Editor Jonathan Rockoff. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Shelby. Thanks for having me.
This pill isn't authorized yet, but the data looks good.
The data looked really strong. So the whole point of this kind of pill is you can take it at home if you have a COVID infection, and it will prevent you from developing a severe case that would require you going to the hospital. The data for the Pfizer pill indicated that it was 89% effective, which means it's substantially reducing the risk. If you have an early case of COVID and are at high risk of a severe case, of keeping you out of the hospital, which is really, really strong.
And when might this pill be available?
It's looking like it could be available pretty soon. I mean, you never know with the Food and Drug Administration, but what Pfizer has said is that they intend to file for authorization by the FDA this month, probably before Thanksgiving. And then we would need to give FDA some time to review the evidence around the pill and make a decision on whether to authorize it. The FDA has been moving really quickly, so we could see this pill available before the end of the year.
And there's another pill that also shows promise, this one made by Merck. Is it similar?
Yeah, I mean, so what doctors and patients and health authorities have been looking for throughout the pandemic is a pill that you could take at home after you get infected that would prevent you from having to go to the hospital with a severe case of COVID. And for months, we've had these incredibly difficult times trying to find such a pill. And all of a sudden, we have two of them now. Merck was the first, Merck and its partner Ridgeback. And they had a pill which the data indicated was 50% effective. And now we have this pill from Pfizer, which the data indicates is 89% effective. They work a little bit differently, but they would have the same intended effect, which is what we've all been waiting for so long.
And that effect is to stop the spread of the virus once it's in your body?
Yeah, to prevent your infection from becoming serious, right? Like, it's one thing if you're infected. I mean, this is what vaccines do. If you're infected and stopping the virus in its tracks is fine. But what you don't want is if your infection turns serious and takes over, you know, your lungs and other parts of your body and lands you in the hospital, because then you're at much higher risk of a worse outcome. So what we've wanted is a kind of like Tamiflu for the coronavirus. You take it within a few days of your infection at home, and hopefully it will keep you from developing a severe case of COVID.
Could these pills, this treatment, change our restrictions around quarantines and mask wearing? Do you see it changing the game?
I think it is a game changer. We've been looking for these pills for a long time. And I think what it promises to do is help us turn this pandemic into an endemic. Obviously, what we want is to not get infected at all, right? And so vaccines will still play a really important role in trying to prevent us from the worst kind of outcomes that we could see with COVID. But vaccines aren't 100% effective. And as we know, there are plenty of people who aren't getting vaccinated. And for those people, either the unvaccinated or the vaccinated who have developed breakthrough infections, we really needed a medicine that would help us keep them out of the hospital and developing serious cases or even dying. And that's what these pills promise. And if we can start using these pills, then that will help us get to a more endemic state rather than having a pandemic with all these restrictions and mandates and so on and so forth. So this could be a real game changer.
It's also a significant development for Pfizer. From a business perspective, what does this mean for the company?
This is huge for Pfizer. I think their stock is up like 10% today, which for a company the size of Pfizer, with this kind of market capitalization, is a huge increase. So we've really seen that Pfizer has really taken off during the pandemic. They've long had a vaccines business. In fact, their top-selling product for the last several years has been the Prevnar vaccine for pneumonia. But they've always wanted to make it bigger. And the pandemic has given them this opportunity to really grow that vaccines and infectious disease business. And first, we saw that with their COVID-19 vaccine. Just this week, the company raised the forecast for yearly sales of that vaccine to $36 billion, which is quite a large sum. And now we see that they've got this pill, which could also generate billions of dollars in additional sales. And more importantly for the company long term, if it sees a future in infectious disease, both of these products, the vaccine and the medicine, could be sort of the backbones of this larger infectious disease business.
Fascinating. Jonathan Rockoff, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And finally, the latest movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe is out today, Eternals. And the film is already getting a lot of attention. It's the first ever Marvel movie with a sex scene. In the MCU's 13-year history, there's been romance, but sex has only been implied, not portrayed. The movie is still rated PG-13, but our entertainment reporter Ellen Gamerman says director Chloe Zhao is bringing a different tone.
She's fresh off an Oscar win for Best Director for Nomadland, which was a very quiet kind of internal movie with a lot of beautiful sweeping shots and pauses and silence and time to contemplate and a lot of focus on the relationships. And so she came into Marvel wanting to bring some of that sensibility and focus really very much on the relationships, which is why she says that there is a sex scene and why there are these firsts in her film. And I think for people who feel this was a long time coming, for Marvel fans who are very happy about this development, they think that the explosions really mean much less and the action means much less if you don't care about the characters and feel that you know them. And what she's doing is trying to present these characters in a more three-dimensional way.
The movie is also breaking new ground on diversity, including being the first in the franchise to show a gay superhero kiss. And that's what's news for this week. I'm Shelby Holliday. Our hosts are Anne-Marie Fertoli and Peter Granitz. Thank you to Lori Herosa for filling in this week. The show was produced by Trine Nuri and Mohsen Ali, with help from Kate Bullivant, Anthony Bansi, Julie Chang, and J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Paolo Bossanin, Kateri Yoakum, Sandra Kilhoff, and Chris Sinsley. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning. And just a reminder, it's daylight savings on Sunday, November 7th, so enjoy that extra hour of sleep.